Well, praise the Lord. Open up to Exodus 24. Even though we went over chapter 24, 1 through 8, we're going to touch on it today. Kind of look broadly at the chapter. The title of the sermon is A Vision of the Lord, Fellowship with God. Exodus chapter 24, verse 1. And then we'll skip to verse 5. Then he, the Lord, said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar." Verse 5. And he, Moses, sent young men from the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in the basins. And half of the blood he threw it against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, or sprinkled it upon the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as if were a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. Verse 12. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of the Lord. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go up to them." Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. And the glory of the Lord dwelt on the Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Let us pray, brethren. Lord, we ask you to be with us as we open up your word, O Lord. Your glorious word. Lord, please give us attentive ears and open hearts to receive your word, that through your word we may grow ever closer to you, and that you may transform and sanctify and set apart your people for you alone. Lord, if anyone here doesn't know you, we plead with you to draw them to you and make them born again and a child of the King. Amen. All that we have seen in the book of Exodus since we've been together, from the very beginning, all that we have seen come to its head in this chapter, chapter 24, before us today. From the beginning, the Lord heard the cries of his people in bondage, and he raised up Moses to be his intermediary to deliver Israel. Moses first heard the Lord manifested in that burning bush back in chapter 3. The Lord declared he would rescue his people mightily. He would mightily rescue his people with a strong arm. The Lord declared in Exodus chapter 6:6, "I am Yahweh, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from slavery to them." and I will redeem you with outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. And that's exactly what the Lord did, as we've seen. Also, one of the goals of delivering Israel was that they would worship the Lord in the wilderness. We've seen this in chapter 7, verse 16. As the Lord freed his people and led them to this very mountain of the Lord that they're upon in our text, the Lord came into another covenant with the people of Israel. Now, as I have said, the people of Israel were already in covenant with the Lord as heirs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're in covenant. But the Lord makes another covenant with the people, a covenant that states how they are to relate to him alone and also to the people of God. We see this starting in chapter 19 with that glorious vision of the Lord. And now the covenant concludes in chapter 24 of our text today. It concludes with an awesome scene upon the mountain of God. The people of Israel, this is key, the people of Israel as a whole are represented by Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders. While there's much happening within this chapter and in this scene, what's at the center of this concluding scene, I believe, is this. Those whom the Lord comes into covenant with, those who the Lord comes into covenant with, he also brings into fellowship. Those whom the Lord comes into covenant with, he also brings into fellowship. We see this first in the Lord's call. Come up to me. Come up to me. In verse 1. Second, the people see a vision of the Lord, a grand vision upon this mountain. And third, they eat and drink with the Lord. Amazing. The first aspect of the fellowship brought about by this covenant is God's call for them to come up. There's a handout if you want to follow also along, but it's brief. We see this as the chapter opens up. The Lord himself, the very God of Israel, calls the people to come up to him. Verse 1, come up to the Lord, you, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, and worship from afar. Now, prior to the covenant being initiated in chapter 19 and chapter 20, only Moses was called to come up to the Lord. Only Moses, as the Lord's mediator, was called to come up. But here, the Lord calls Moses his mediator, Aaron's his sons, representing the future priesthood, and the elders representing the people of God. What a beautiful call we see. A call from the Lord himself. A call to come up to the Lord. But at this time in redemptive history, although all are called to come up to the Lord, only Moses is allowed to come near to him, as we see later on. How great it would have been to have been there at this moment, to hear the voice of God and to receive that call from the Lord himself to come up to the Lord. But the reality is, the call was very narrow. It was to a select nation. It was to a select people, the people of Israel alone. But praise the Lord, in the fullness of time, all nations are called to come up near to the Lord. Amen? Listen to Jesus himself as he expands that call in Matthew 11, verse 28. It says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. just as Jesus called all to come up to him some 2,000 years ago, that very call stands today. That very call is alive and active. It's a wonderful call from the Lord. It's a glorious call from the Lord. A call to come up near to the Lord. A call to both Jew and Gentile alike. A call to both rich and poor. A call to those who are sick and healthy. A call to all to come up to God. Come near. Come up to the Lord. And I would ask you, if you have never heeded that glorious call, may the Lord give you ears today to hear. Listen again to that call. Come to me, Jesus says, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And brethren, we all plead with you to heed that call of the Lord if you're hearing his voice. Hear the call and turn from your sin to him who alone has the power to save. The call is to all. It's not narrow, it's broad. And I end with saying, you never know how many days, how many minutes you have on this earth. Life is fleeting. Some of us have time. We're told this time is what you have. Some people don't get that. They wake up one day and they're gone tomorrow. Please heed the call. This very day, I plead with you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In verses 4 and 5, after that glorious call to come up to the Lord, the people worship the Lord. They worship God at the foot of the mountain. And the covenant is confirmed, as we looked at last time we met, in blood. In the blood, a sacrificial blood. The blood of the covenant is sprinkled upon the people, which leads to this glorious vision that we see in our text, a glorious vision upon the mountain. We see this in verses 9 and 10. Follow along. Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. All who went up to the Lord in our text, every one of them saw this glorious vision of the Lord. And remember, visions of the Lord are super rare in the Old Testament, especially those that have descriptions of scenes. The Lord appeared to Abraham in Genesis 17, as the covenant with Abraham was confirmed. But there's no description of the Lord. Turn to Genesis 18 for a moment. We see a brief description of the Lord. Genesis 18. This is speaking of Abraham. It says in Genesis 18, verse 1, "And then the Lord appeared to him, Abraham, by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him." And we know from this scene, one of these men was the very Lord God of Israel. But it's a brief description. We see manifestations of the Lord in the burning bush, a glorious manifestation of the Lord. We've seen manifestations of the Lord in that cloud that led Israel through the Red Sea and into the wilderness. And the power and might that we saw displayed in chapter 19, glorious, the power and might of the Lord. But two visions stand out in the Old Testament that describe the inner throne room of God. Isaiah 6 and Ezekiel 1. We're very familiar with this text. And it's a wonderful vision of the Lord. It says in Isaiah 6, verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings, with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, Kadosh, 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 holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe to me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" What an amazing vision. And then in Ezekiel 1, if you want to turn there, Ezekiel 1 starts off, it contains visions of God that Ezekiel's seen in chapter 1. And then in verse 22, it describes the expanse and area above these living creatures. In verse 22, it says, "Spread out over the head of the living creatures was what looked like an expanse, sparkling like ice and awesome. And I heard the sound of their wings, like the roar of rushing waters, like the voice of the Almighty, like the tumult of an army." But in verse 25, Ezekiel gets a glimpse of God. He sees the Lord. "Then there came a voice from above the expanse, over their heads, as they stood with lowered wings. Above the expanse was what looked like a throne of sapphire, and above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. And I saw that from what appeared to be in his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire, and that from there down he looked like fire. The brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds of a rainy day. So was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell down, face down." Glorious, glorious vision of God. These are rare, but nevertheless grand visions of the Lord. But as grand as they are, realize this, they are but a small picture of the Lord. They are a glimpse of the Lord, glimpses into the Lord via the scene of a throne room. Or in our text, in Exodus 24, glimpses of the Lord, and the descriptions are of just what's below his feet. But praise God, in the fullness of time, the glimpses of the pictures of God is over. They're over. By his grace, we see the full panorama of the Lord. And we see it in none other than Jesus Christ. We see aspects of his divinity, but we also see aspects of his humanity. We see Jesus' compassion, his compassion throughout the Gospels. In Luke 7, verse 13, when the only son of a widow died and was being carried away, it says, "And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Do not weep.' Then he came up and touched the bier of the bearers, stood still." And the bearers stood still. "And he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother." Jesus had compassion on the sick and healed them. Matthew 14:14. When the people were hungry, Jesus fed them. Matthew 14:16-19. When the Lord saw that Lazarus had died, what does it say? Jesus wept. He wept. He had compassion. And Jesus, of course, loved those around him. We see this in John 11:5. But we also see Jesus' deity in the New Testament. We see his omnipotence, which just means his all-powerfulness. He's all-powerful. With one word, Jesus stilled a storm. Matthew 8:26-27. The apostles were so astonished at this, they said, "What sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" We see Jesus' omniscience, which means his all-knowing. He knows everything. He knew Nathanael before he ever met him. John 1:48. He knew who would betray him before it ever happened. John 13:11. Jesus knew everything that was in man's heart. We see this in John 2:24. And mightily, Jesus alone has the power to take away sin. We see this in Mark 2:10. But maybe you're still thinking, Jesus on earth hadn't fully displayed that he was God. Many people bring this out. He hadn't fully displayed he was God. Turn to John 1. A beautiful description of his deity. John 1 speaks of Jesus' eternality and that he created all things. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." That word there for word is logos. "And the Word was with God. And the Word was God." That's Jesus. Jesus was, this term word here is a term for Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend this. And verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace." That is speaking of Jesus. That is speaking of Jesus. Jesus declared in John 14:9, "Anyone who has seen him has seen the Father." He's saying, "I am equal with the Father." In John 10, when the Jews were testing Jesus, asking if he was the Christ, if he was the Messiah, after declaring he alone had the power to give eternal life, and that they would have eternal life, and that no one could snatch them from his hand, because the Father had given them to Jesus, Jesus makes this astonishing declaration as the section closes in John 10:30. He says, "He and the Father are one." This so enraged the Jews who heard this. What did they do? They tried to kill him. Turn to Matthew 17:1. Like our scene in Exodus 24, when the people saw the God of Israel, Peter, James, John saw the Lord upon the mountain. It happened upon a mountain. It says in Matthew 17:1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured. He was transformed before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. What a glorious picture of the Lord in all his glory upon that mountain that very day. And so, brethren, even though Moses, Aaron, and the 70 elders, and even Isaiah and Ezekiel saw these magnificent visions of the Lord, their visions, although mighty and awesome, pale to the visions we see of the Lord today in the New Testament. Our view of the Lord is much more fuller. It's much more complete. And amazingly, we are even told the end game. We're told how it's all going to end. We will see, it says in Revelation 22, verse 4, we shall see him face to face. Amen? And then it continues in verse 5. And night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen? I ask this simple question. Is this your view of the Lord? Is this your view of the Lord? Most of us have a small view of God. One-dimensional, two-dimensional. Most of us have a small view of the Lord. Remember, he is so much bigger. He is so much greater. Brother, sister, little ones here, this is my prayer. May your eyes be open to the grand view of the Lord of all. And may you spend the rest of your lives meditating on him. Amen? The last scene is one of intimacy. One of intimacy upon the mountain of the Lord. As the covenant concludes, they partake in a meal. It says in verse 11 as it ends, they beheld God and ate and drank. Now at first, this concluding scene seems out of place, seems odd to us. They beheld God and they ate and drank. But if we dig deeper into God's word, we see this is not abnormal. Back in Genesis chapter 31, verse 44, after Jacob and Laban reconciled, as they made a covenant together, it says they partook in a meal. They broke bread together, it says in chapter 31, 54. In other words, they sealed their covenant with a meal. With that, as the covenant is confirmed in our text and ends with a meal, the closing meal makes more sense to us. It's a covenant meal of intimate fellowship with the Lord of all. The Mosaic covenant is sealed with the meal in our text. Now, is this the last place we see something like this in Scripture? Is this the last place? No, it's not. Praise God. Remember, the prophet Jeremiah proclaimed in Jeremiah 31, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. He's comparing this new one with the one that we're talking about in Exodus chapters 19 to 24. Jeremiah proclaims, it's coming! It's coming! And praise the Lord, in the fullness of time, that day came. Amen? In the fullness of time, that day came. And just like the old covenant, the new covenant is sealed with a meal. The new covenant is sealed with a meal. Turn to Luke 22, verse 14. The night before the Lord was crucified, the Lord called his disciples together to celebrate the Passover meal. The Lord would have a last fellowship meal with his apostles. And during the meal, the Lord transforms the Passover meal as the new covenant is about to be instituted and sealed with the bread and the cup. It says in Luke 22, verse 14, "And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God has come. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them and said, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the cup, is the new covenant in my blood. And both these things, the Passover and the newly instituted covenant with bread and the cup, have significance. Both these things, the Passover lamb that they were eating signifies or points to the Lamb of God about to be slain to save his people. And the bread represents Jesus' body. And the cup of the vine represents his blood poured out for the many. Jesus said, Do this in remembrance of me. And by his grace, those who believe in Christ look back to this by partaking in the Lord's Supper when we meet together. And we outwardly proclaim as a people that we are his people. And his people alone, members of the new covenant by his grace and by the price that he paid for us. And the Apostle Paul, speaking of these things, he says, For whenever you eat this bread and drink this blood, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. 1 Corinthians 11:26. What a glorious blessing the Lord has given us. What a glorious blessing the Lord has given us to celebrate the Lord and the new covenant ordinance of communion. Amen? But praise God, it doesn't end there. It don't end there. We look forward. Turn to Revelation 19. We look forward to a day when we will sit at the Lord's banqueting table, a future day in glory. It speaks of a great feast of the redeemed of Christ, known as the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19:6. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give thanks to him the glory. Give him the glory. For the marriage lamb, the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saint. Verse 9. And the angel said to me, Write this, Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true words of God. Brethren, may we look forward to that day. May we declare with one voice, Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen? And our text ends as Moses alone ascends the mountain in verse 15. Let's close as we read verse 15 and then we'll pray. Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on the mount, on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for calling us unto you. Thank you, Lord. Sprinkling us with your atoning blood, setting us apart, giving us a vision of who you are through your glorious word, and calling us to eat with you at your table. Lord, may we be ever, ever thankful to you for these things. Amen.